some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Good morning, everybody. It's Garrett Miller here on Rated G Radio. I feel like I've smoked a pack of Camels and I've had a fifth of whiskey. You know, my voice is nice and husky. This is how I sound in the morning. Anyway, great to be back, and I'm excited to be here today with artist Paul Richmond. I'm going to be bringing Paul on in just a couple of moments, and we'll be welcoming him to the magic and insanity that will ensue for the next hour. And if you are calling because you would like to talk to psychic Zoe Niklaus, read the show page, folks. That's tomorrow. I had the pleasure of welcoming a guest a little bit ago, and I said, good morning, Paul. And the caller was like, and it was a female, and she goes, I said, who's Paul? And I said, Paul's our guest, just like it says on the show page for today. Well, I don't want Paul. I want psychic Zoe Niklaus. And I said, well, that's not what today's show is. Today's going to be about cheesecake and so much more. And so tomorrow morning, if she calls back, we will put her on the air. But today's not a psychic day. It's going to be a fun day. And I want to give you kind of like the roadmap for the week so you can plan accordingly. Of course, if you listen live, we love it. But if you don't listen live, we love it too, because you can listen to all of the past episodes right here on the Blog Talk archives for Rated G Radio. Or guess what? Apple on iTunes carries the show also as the podcast. And you can get the most recent 300 episodes of the show and download it for free. Free is a very good price at Tom Peterson's. That's a joke only if you ever lived in Oregon in the 70s and 80s. But free is a very good price, and Apple's iTunes will let you get the show and download any of the episodes that you would like. You can take them on the road, take them on the plane, take them anywhere you want, just as long as you take us with you. That's all that we care about. So Paul's going to be our guest. Bring him on in just a second. I've had a half a cup of coffee today, so I'm a little on the wired side. It's only 8 o'clock here on the West Coast, and it's raining cats and dogs. We're flooding again here in the courtyard. Tomorrow we're going to have psychic Zoe Niklaus. We are doing something new with Zoe. For most of last year, Zoe was bringing on like Zoe and friends, and she'd bring on a guest with her, and they would kind of tag team the listener calls. We're just going to be doing 1 hour of show with Zoe versus a 90-minute program. Keep it a little bit more short and tight. Don't mix those two words up. And so Zoe's going to be on tomorrow morning. She'll take your calls. We're live at 8 o'clock in the morning with Zoe. Wednesday, it's psychic Rebecca Fisk. We're going, what's going on? Get psychic back to back. Here's kind of how I'm doing the show this year, folks. And I'm telling you this because this is really, I kind of took January off, to be honest. I did a couple of music shows, did the Friday night dance parties, and God bless Rob Watson for doing Rated LGBT Radio on Thursday nights without fail. But here's what happened last year. I ran out of money and I had to get a job. So the job that I have usually has me work Thursday night, so I can't ever do the show with Rob. And I've been working so much that doing the show and just trying to find a rhythm to how I'm going to do it this year just was really kind of a interesting paradox, because I love doing the show, but I just was emotionally and energetically spent after doing the regular job. So now I've found, kind of got my rhythm going. So now we're going to be doing shows. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to be having fun people like Paul Richmond on. By the way, you need to go look at his Facebook page, Hello Polly, and then also Paul Richmond Studio. Like both of them, because you get all kinds of, cool things. He posts fun pictures. We'll talk about that in a second. So we'll have fun guests on like Paul. But what we're going to be doing is really the first and third weeks of the month, I'm going to have Zoe and Rebecca on, at least for February and March. We'll have them on twice a month. Rob will still be doing the show on Thursday nights. If I have a Thursday night off, I will gladly join him. And then when it's more like when I feel like, to be honest, we'll do Friday night dance parties or Friday dance parties. My goal is to really just do like world premieres with folks and, let people around the world listen to new music first. But I got to really like the music. I so lucked out last year with the guests that we had on. We had just amazing artists, and really, I liked pretty much everybody that was on, and found some really great music that, was fun to listen to in the car and, crank up here at the house. And not that I don't have, I've got like a list of people waiting. I just need to find a time because right now, scheduling wise, again, with the JOB is, you know, I got to pay the rent and, you know, buy food and do those kind of, you know, real people things. I've got to find time to, that it's going to make it work because they, you know, oftentimes have me scheduled weird. And I, at least mentally in my head, I want to do the show on Fridays consistently at either 8 a.m. or 7 p.m. And just time scheduled, it just doesn't work that way. So you're going, I don't really care about that. I want to hear from Paul Richmond, this fantastic artist who's doing all of these, you know, fun pictures and books and paintings and everything else. And so I'm going to stop blabbering for just a second and say, Paul Richmond, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I kind of feel like I need to be a psychic, though, in order to fit in and please your listeners.
Well, okay. Can I also tell you a little secret? The reason I like to do the psychic shows, A, I get a trillion people that listen and a trillion people that call in, but they're really easy shows for me. So it's I just go, and Paul, you're on next. And then I go, and I'm so telling all my secrets. But while, you know, you're jabbering away with Zoe or Rebecca or whoever, then I'm sitting here, I'm chatting on Facebook, I'm answering emails, and then I can kind of hear when the call's wrapping up. Okay, well, you know, thanks, nice. Paul. Next call. So, you know, it helps.
Well, you know, I'll happily try to predict the future, too, if you want. Like, for example, I predict that soon you are going to be on stage and you're going to lose your pants and everyone's going to see your cute undies.
I think, A, I need to have you actually design my line of cute undies. B, I need to do more squats. And C, I'm on board. So I will do all of
those. Well, I might be able to hook you up with the undies. We can talk about that in a bit. But okay. The squats are all you. I can't help you there.
Well, you know, at a certain age, because, you know, you'll get to that certain age about in another 30 years, Paul, because you're just this, you know, young little guy. But I will tell you, I do, you know, not that anybody really cares about my exercise routine, but I do about an hour of cardio 5, 6, 7 days a week, just depending upon what I do, because I'm also on my feet 8 hours a day while I'm off doing my JOB. But then I have, you know, I have these little dumbbells, and so they're 25 pounds, and it's not much, but that's what I've got. I've just kind of resolved myself in life that that's what I'm going to do at home. And so I swing them in the air, and I do all the, you know, I do my sets of curls and things. And then I do squats with them too. And you're like, well, 50 pounds of, you know, extra weight is not a lot to do squats. Well, I used to weigh 50 pounds more. So now I'm like, holy cow, how did I carry that weight around? But when you get to be a certain age, Paul, your butt does not respond to squats like it did, you know, when you were 20. So I think I could
really?
Do
really? What age is that?
that age is an older age, and so you know you have many years to go before you have to start worrying about your ass not responding to doing squats. But I'm at that age, and so I think
well,
I could do squats 12 hours a day and I still look
routine.
Flabby. Ugh, bad,
I have a
bad,
much
bad.
Easier workout routine I can recommend for you. It's called
it?
Artistic License.
Yeah.
The artistic license, all you have to do is just open up Photoshop and use the little warp tool and you can put things wherever you want. You'll look great forever.
Oh, Paul, I love you. This is why you're here on the show. I will tell you, you know, because I do photography also on the side. I say on the side, but I mean, I get paid to do it. So it's, I do photos on the side. And I tell my clients, I said, you know, I'm not a Photoshop master, trust me. But however, I'm really good at taking like 5 or 10 years off or getting rid of that bag under the eye. But I said, I'm not going to turn you into the plastic Barbie doll. But I really do like being able to, like, you know, give myself a bubble butt or, you know, giving me some six pack abs.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like
as
what you've done.
You know,
in
those
the
few key things.
Yeah, the key things, you know, and I just don't want to be like, you know, like Marlena Dietrich or whoever that actress was where, you know, she, you know, they are the great, was it, you know, they want to go to bed with, you know, this, and then they wake up with that, and, you know, bleh.
Oh, right, yeah. A little false advertising.
Yeah, false advert. Well, I'm, it was like, you know, I've come, now go! So, you know, you could always, you know, shout that. Anyway, let's talk about your life, because it's been a hot minute since you've been on. The last time we talked, I think you were back in Ohio, and you and your husband have decided to, you know, make a move out west. What happened with all of that? And by the way, officially, welcome to California. You've been here, though.
Thank you. Yeah, we came out here in August, and we are loving it. My husband's a nurse practitioner. He's a totally different, you know, field than I am. And he got this great opportunity to come out here and work at an awesome cancer clinic. And since I can do my thing from wherever, we decided to give it a try. I'd actually never been. We moved to Monterey, Monterey, California, and I had never been here before, but we had come out. I'd been to L.A., I'd been to San Francisco, and we had always kind of talked about retiring out here one day. And then we kind of just got to talking and realized, why would we want to wait until then when we could go and enjoy it now? So we just decided to, we got this opportunity, and we decided to give it a try. We both lived in Ohio our whole lives, so it was a big adjustment. And the first time I ever even saw Monterey was the day that we moved here. But we're really, really loving it. It's a really fun adventure, getting all situated in a totally, I mean, everything's different, you know, the not just the weather, but like totally different. Like the plants even look different.
Oh, yeah.
People are different. Everything's different. It's awesome. It's really kind of, I don't know, rejuvenated my creative juices a little bit. I think sometimes you have to give yourself a shake up to, you know, get inspired. So I've felt very creatively inspired since we moved out here.
Well, you've been like on fire on, because, you know, we don't talk. I mean, honestly, I think the last time we talked live was when you did the show last time. So, you know, I stalk you on Facebook with much love for all of your projects.
You always chime in with some cute little comments and things.
Well,
which
I'm
I
trying. You know, but because, you know, at least I know I really am watching you. And every time you put a post, you know, because sometimes, you know, you, as somebody who likes to create and do things, you know, you always wonder, is anybody looking at my stuff? And how come I didn't get 7,000 likes and that, but I see all the stuff you're doing and I'm always so inspired.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I think I'm real good at imagining that I have an audience because I've always been kind of an attention whore ever since I was a little kid. You know, I just always imagined that there was an audience of people watching my every move. So even if there isn't, it's easy for me to pretend that and keep going. I think I'm just kind of like a 24/7 Bob Ross in my own head. I just imagine that there's all these people out there who are interested. And you know, maybe some people are. I don't know. But,
how can they not be, though? One of the funnest things I've seen that you've done, and I can't imagine the amount of time and planning it took to make this, to pull this off, Paul, but I'll tell you, super, super impressed. You did a YouTube video. I think that's at least where I saw it. A YouTube video of like a day in the life of you in your studio. This is back in Ohio. And it was, you know, you had singing and dancing and, you know, you had a big party and the whole thing. And I was just like, and it was like done in pretty much like one take or, you know, one continuous shot, I think.
It was one of those one take kind of videos. Yeah.
It was amazing. You know, when I saw that, I said, oh, this man knows no bounds. He's, you know, he's unlimited. It's the unlimited, you know, Paul Richmond here. So,
ideas always kind of start small and then somehow, I don't know, they grow as I start working on them and become more elaborate.
Well, you're a big and bold person. Anything that you do just really kind of goes over the top in the best way. It's not like you've jumped the shark like Fonzie on Happy Days, you know, but it's, everything you do is, you know, really bold, bright. I like, you know, very accurate and just, you know, it just bring things to life.
Well, thank you. YouTube has actually been a really fun new thing. Just this past year, I kind of branched into that because I am, you know, very extroverted. I'm not shy. And a lot of artists are, you know, some of the most talented friends that I have are, you know, would never, you know, be comfortable doing videos and things like that. And I figured since I am so extroverted and I have no problem putting it all out there, I might as well, because it's a great way to let people kind of see a little bit more of who you are and what your process is. So I started the YouTube channel over a year ago. It's Paul Richmond Studio, if anybody wants to check it out. And so every week, every Wednesday, I post a new video. And sometimes it's just, you know, painting, videos of me painting in my studio. I do these kind of time-lapse videos so people can see what that process is like. And then other times it's just random silliness, you know, all kinds of things. I rope in different friends to help me do whatever crazy idea I come up with. And I was real lucky to join the network, the World of Wonder, which is the production company that does RuPaul's Drag Race and a lot of gay programming. They have a network on YouTube for vloggers. So about a year ago, I joined them. So they kind of help promote the channel and my videos go out to their viewers and that kind of thing. So it's been really fun. I've really enjoyed it. And again, like, I'm just so happy sitting there talking to a camera and pretending that I'm, you know, Barbara Walters or somebody and have all millions of people watching, even if there's only 100, that's okay. I appreciate every view.
You know, but it is funny though. I mean, you could be in front of a million people who, you know, who are just like, yeah, whatever, or you can have 100 of the most passionate followers ever. And they're,
yeah,
you know,
oh, that's it. That's it. Like, I think people get too hung up on numbers, and, you know, even if I never have a viral success video, that's okay. Like, just knowing that even a few hundred people watched it is awesome. And I have this real small group on Facebook called Hello Polly, which is, it only has a few hundred people, but it's people who are really into the, you know, stuff I'm doing and the coloring pictures and all these different things that we'll talk about. But every week we do like a little live video kind of hang out. And it's just a small group of us, but it's so fun. And it's really nice to connect with people who, you know, care about what you're doing. I love that. I always want to have those kinds of opportunities to stay connected with people who are interested in what I'm up to.
So let me ask you this, because and back towards the end of last year, I was doing like a weekly video of Rated G Radio, and here's what would come up, and I'd just go and, you know, babble for a couple of minutes until my camera shut off, and then I'd post. It was so much fun. But I will tell you, it was and my production values zero, and what you do, you know, that takes time, effort, and a lot of. You really know how to put all of that together so it looks good. What kind of a time commitment is that for you to put together those videos that you're putting out there and, you know, sharing your talent with the world?
Well, I'll tell you that, I mean, I appreciate that you said that. You know, I really don't know what I'm doing. I always say I am not a video artist in any way, just because I went to school with people who are and who can really do awesome stuff. And I'll tell you, the first, I don't know, a few months that I was doing the YouTube stuff, my production studio was my phone attached to a selfie stick, duct taped to the trash can in my art studio. So that was my technical expertise level at that point. So you can do it with whatever you have. And then I just edited the stuff in iMovie. And I've progressed a little bit since then, just because there's been some things that I wanted to do that I couldn't accomplish with with those means alone. So my husband, who half the time I'm sure thinks that I'm crazy with some of the stuff I come up with, but who is always so supportive, got me a green screen and some lights and a better camera and different things for gifts throughout the year. So I'm slowly kind of getting, you know, better at it. And I can lose a little bit of time in editing, but I try not to overdo that, just because I feel like, I don't know, it's better to, even if it has mistakes or things that look a little odd, you know.
What keeps you real?
That's real. Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to make anybody think that I'm, you know, the next MTV or something.
I'm going to start calling you Martin Scorsese, Paul Richmond.
Yes, I've already prepared my Oscar acceptance speech, just in case, you know.
So can I ask you a question? Because I've got a green screen, too, and I will tell you, it sits neatly folded in a box, because when I went to go and, you know, put it all together, I was like, oh, this is going to be such a pain in the ass, and I just don't have, you know. So I have to be the kind of person
that... Here's the trick, let me tell you.
Okay, what's
the
trick?
It's super easy, because I hate building things. IKEA is not my friend, so anything that you have to assemble, I usually avoid. I just thumbtack that thing right up to the wall, and it works just as well. You don't have to put the green screen on all those, you know, poles and
the stand,
whatever.
Ugh.
What about
when you go to, like, you know, after you film it, how do you, have you found it, and I say easy, meaning really easy and not a time sucker, because I don't need an energy vampire from a green screen, because then I'll never want to do it again. Have you found an easy way to make your stuff, you know, come to life?
Actually, the very first video that I've used the green screen for is going to, you'll be seeing it this week. It's a video for the Cheesecake Boys coloring book. But yeah, it is super easy. The key is you just have to be sure that you kind of are in a very well-lit space, because if you have a lot of dark shadows that are falling on the screen behind you, then that can kind of screw it up. But when you bring the video into iMovie, there's an option for green screen, and it just punches out anything that's green in the,
what?
You know, in that frame. So you drop it on top of whatever you want to fill the green space. face. And yeah, it's super easy. But don't
you
wear
are
anything green. Like if you're wearing, I don't know, a green shirt or something, then your chest is going to disappear too.
And Paul, there is
see, we've opened
besides
up a whole
your
new
brilliant
world
artwork,
for you this morning.
I'm bowing to you in just extreme gratitude to know this. Cause I didn't realize that iMovie would do that for you. Okay.
Oh my gosh! Well, yeah, it's so easy. You drag the little file in, and then it's a little pull down menu, and you just choose green screen.
Cool. Well, okay.
I look forward to seeing you in all kinds of new settings real soon in your future videos.
Yeah, I'll be on the beach in Tahiti. I'm coming to you. Yeah, I'm coming to you live
yeah,
from Mint.
We'll hang out.
Yeah, right on. So let's talk about your artwork. The last time you were on, we talked about, you know, the work that you do. By the way, so super, because I want to talk about the origins of this for just a second. But from an artistic standpoint, I mean, seriously, $1 million looks to the pictures. It's not like, you know, you're trying to draw something to get into art school. Really, really professional, fantastic, fun, a little naughty, which is even better. And you gifted me a couple of pictures that you mailed, and I have them sitting right here in my room, and I get to take a look at them every day. They're so well done. You're like, holy cow, how does this brilliant artist, you know, come up with these different ideas? So before we get to Cheesecake, because it's been an evolution for you, where did all of that start for you from a concept to where we are today?
So, yeah, I've always painted my whole life. I started taking, you know, lessons when I was a little kid. I don't really know where that came from. You know, at the age of 3, all I wanted to do was just sit at the table and draw all day. My parents said I did about 200 drawings a day. Neither of them are artists, so they had no idea what to do with me, but they found an awesome local art instructor named Linda who began giving me private lessons. And right away, I mean, as soon as I started going to her studio, I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And I feel so lucky that I was able to figure that out at such a young age, because it gave me a lot of time to learn about it. You know, I think it's awesome for anybody at any age to make the decision that they want to be an artist. Sometimes it's, you know, there a lot of people aren't that lucky, but I, you know, was able to take lessons all throughout my childhood and then went to art school. So I've always known that I wanted to be an artist. And, you know, there are a lot of different types of art. There are a lot of different directions you can go. And at first I studied illustration, actually. That's what my degree is in, because I really love telling stories with my work. And I had even at one time thought about doing animation until I learned that there was a lot of math involved. And then I said, well, screw that. So that went off by the wayside. I do paintings for galleries. And I've been, you know, really fortunate to show my work in a lot of different spaces. Last year, I had my first solo show in an art museum in Indiana, the Evansville Museum. Which was a series of paintings I did called War Paint. And so they're very expressive oil paintings, portraits of people, and they're kind of smearing paint all over their faces and bodies, and it represents, you know, the colors and the way they're applying it kind of represents something more about the person. So that's kind of in the category of what I would call my more serious art, I guess. I mean, it's still colorful and bold, and it's still very neat, but it's, you know, more of what you kind of think of when you think of a traditional fine artist. So I do that, and I always have paintings that I'm working on for various things or just for fun. And but then for the past, I don't know, I think it's been 8 or 9 years now, I've been also doing this series of fun, kind of more illustration-oriented pieces called Cheesecake Boys. And they were inspired by the pinup girls from the 40s and 50s, it's a genre of art that I just love. I think that is so hilarious. And those artists were, you know, exceptional painters. But it also just made such a fun, quirky statement about, you know, the mentality of the times, because these women that were being portrayed, you know, this was as pretty much as naughty and provocative as you could be at the time, if their skirt was being blown up by the wind or if it was caught on a nail or something. So it was like this kind of innocent, you know, suggestion of something sexy. But I always wondered, since, you know, as a gay man, I always kind of wondered when I looked at this art, well, why wasn't there any paintings of men like this? I mean, there were there was Beefcake art. A lot of that was photography. And there was a little bit later artists like Tama Finland and, you know, people who portrayed guys in a very erotic way. But there was never really this just sort of innocent, fun kind of approach to it. Or, you know, the men who were never like losing their clothes by accident and in a cheeky, silly way. It was, if they were undressing, it was because, you know, they wanted to, because they were tough and they were feeling it. So I just thought it would be really fun to kind of turn the tables on that whole idea and do some paintings of guys in those, you know, classic cheesecakey kind of poses. I had no idea where it was going to go at first. You know, like I was telling you, most of my ideas tend to start small and then blow up, but I just kind of did a few little paintings at first, and it was really fun. And then I kept having more ideas of ways to, you know, get people out of their clothes. It's amazing how many different ways there are to accomplish that. So that's been one thing I've learned. And so I kept painting them, and then I got some opportunities to do some portraits of kind of gay male celebrities that wanted to be a part of the series. And I did a whole show of those in Chicago a few years ago, which was super fun. Perez Hilton posed for one. Who else? Ari Gold, Mike Ruiz, Jesse Archer, just a whole bunch of different guys.
Wow.
And so that was cool. And then I kind of thought that maybe that was the end of the Cheesecake Boys series. But I also work for Dream Spinner Press, which is a publishing company that does gay fiction. I do book cover illustrations and also some of their graphic design work and different things. It's an awesome company. I love working with them. And so I've kind of continued to do some cheesecake type illustrations for some of their book covers that kind of kept the idea going in my mind. And then, I don't know, last year sometime, I was trying to just think of something fun that would be a way to, you know, like you're a creative person too, and it kind of gets a little tiring sometimes to always be like making stuff and then trying to just sell it, you know? Like,
right.
Come and buy this, click on this link to buy this. It's kind of, oh my God, am I, you know, an infomercial? So I wanted to come up with something that would be fun and simple and easy that I could just give away and that there would be no, you know, ulterior motive for. So I started doing these, I called them Friday freebies, and I set up a page on my website, and every Friday I would just post a new Cheesecake Boy a coloring page, because adult coloring books, you know, became really popular. So I would post a new pinup boy that was just black and white outlines, and people could download it for free and color it. And I just thought it would be a fun way to interact with people who were into those drawings and, you know, give people a way to be a part of the artwork. And it was super popular. People really seemed to enjoy it. And I loved seeing how everybody reinterpreted the drawing and would come up with color combinations and add in details and fun things that I would never think of. I really enjoyed that. So I posted a new one every Friday, but when I would post the new one, I would take the old one down so that anybody who hadn't already downloaded it, you know, it was gone. It was very limited edition type thing. And then I got to talking with Dream Spinner Press, owner Elizabeth, and she, you know, also has always loved the Cheesecake Boys series and thought that, you know, that it would be really fun to put these out as a coloring book. And I actually reached out to some of the Friday Freebies regulars to see what they thought of the idea, because, you know, I always intend to continue kind of posting these and giving them away free too. But there have been a lot of people who said that they would love to get it in a book form as well. And so everybody loved the idea. So now it's a book, and it's coming out on Valentine's Day. Through Dream Spinner Press. It's 22 pages of pinup boys for people to color. And you can actually pre-order it now if you want at dreamspinnerpress.com, or if you go to cheesecakeboy.com, it has all the links there as well, because there's a a regular edition for $12.99, or there's a an autographed edition for $14.99. So here I am. We're back to selling now, but you know, this is all done with love.
The sordid tale of coin when we're talking about our passion.
That's right. Got to put these boys to work for me.
Yeah, exactly. Get these boys naked and get them, you know. Polly needs a new pair of shoes. Well, I mean,
exactly.
But seriously,
they're losing their clothes in order for me to buy more.
But see, it's all serving the greater good. So it's all,
But
honestly, Paul, this is one of those things that I think you've hit the timing really great. I was talking to my friend Paul in Mass the other day, and he was just raving about how much he loves you. And, we were talking about the adult coloring book. The timing of this is really, really, perfect, because there's a gentleman I know out here in Southern California, and he's had some downtime with his, regular job. And one of the things that he's loved to do is he gets these adult coloring books. And he, I don't know how he does it, because they look really, really great. But he has all these like weird designs, like psychedelic. But he sits there and colors all of these, and he's gotten such a great response from them that once they're colored, he actually goes out and gets them framed, believe it or not, and he sells them at his salon. And I thought
that's awesome.
A great idea, because it's something that's it lets you be creative. Because who didn't like coloring when we were kids?
Right, exactly.
Now we want to color something that's a little more fun to color. And you're doing that now, with your Cheesecake Boys.
Yes, and it is very true what you said. When I didn't know a lot about the adult coloring craze at first, but then when I started seeing the way that people, were coloring my drawings and posting them, I mean, they did truly make them into their own works of art, adding in all kinds of cool patterns and designs and colors and things. So absolutely, I believe that. I think that, I'm basically just giving you a starting point, and then you can, but then there are people who just kind of color it with your basic Crayola crayons too. So it's for everybody. It's, you can, if you're a professional artist, or if you just want to do something fun to kind of chill in the evening while you're having a drink and watching TV, whatever you need. Cheesecake Boys are there for you.
You are always a being of service here, Paul. I love it. Okay. So
That's true.
Everybody who's listening, if you are also on Facebook today, I've changed my profile picture for the rest of February to the headshot of the drawing that Paul has done of me. You can get the entire picture. I've also put a really cool link, so it's like super, super easy for you. You don't have to go reinventing the wheel. How do I find it? Because, Paul Richmond Studio would be too hard to remember.
Exactly.
I'm going, hello. There's a link. You just click the link, and it's going to take you right to the picture. You get a shot of me with my perfectly shaped ass. Everything
looks. All the squats are working for you.
All the squats are working in the picture. We really love that. So thank you very much. So, and you get to see a picture of Paul. You get to see the link for the Cheesecake Boy and adult coloring book that you get to color all yourself. I see on here, and I haven't, because this is new as of this morning, because you said, I'm not going to share it until we get ready for show. So I have all these questions.
Yeah.
You have what's on here called the Recolor app. Does that let me try to, like, color do this online?
Well, yes, exactly. So if you want, you can print out the picture and color it the old-fashioned way, which a lot of people do. Or if you download this app, and this is just one of the apps for this purpose. There are a number of them out there, but a lot of the people who have been coloring my pictures recommended this one. So I've started formatting all of mine so that they work in this app called Recolor. You just download that app, and then you upload my drawing into it, and then you kind of just color it by tapping in.
What?
Pick the color you want, and you tap your finger into an area, and it fills it with that color, and so you can do it on your phone or on your iPad or whatever.
I'm doing that. So cool. As soon as we're off the show, you know what we should do, Paul?
Well,
we should have a contest for the listeners today. I don't know. I mean, so let's do this. So if you do this, whether you print it out or you use a Recolor app or whatever, I'm going to throw this out there and I'll post this on Facebook. We'll do a contest for February.
I love it.
The end of February, Paul and I will sit down and, perform a critique, as it were, on some of the drawings that will be coming back in on your coloring. And let's do this. If you, because you know, you got me there singing in my tank top. We love that with my pants down. as one does. I will send out an autographed copy of one of the original, I say prints, but that's not the right way, but the original pressings of the Blonde Jesus CD. Because I only had 1,000 made, and I'm down to like my last, you know, few before I have to go and reorder from the, you know, the CD people. So if you'd like one of the last remaining original copies of the Blonde Jesus CD, I will use that as a prize for whoever wants to color and submit. Now you can just color. You know, I've already got your album. That's fine. I'm not going to make you take a second one, but I encourage everybody to go and
you'll
do
have
it.
To come
It'll
up
like
with
so
some other
fun.
Prize for them.
Yeah, well, we'll come up with like another prize.
Your Pink Boy picture.
There you go. Or free hugs. I'll give you a hug if I.
Oh,
if you're
there you go.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah. That'll be totally fine.
We're easy.
You know, it's all about being easy.
How do you want people to how do you want people to show you their pictures?
You need to post it to Facebook and then tag me.
Yeah.
And you know, and
you
well, it'd be better if you also tag Paul because you know he's the man behind this magic, who's got. I mean, I have no age wrinkles. I've got nothing, and I look great in the picture. So Paul has captured me perfectly in this picture, folks. My pecs are rocking.
Immortalized for all.
I've been immortalized. Yeah, you know, this could be you know for the presidential library here practically, but you know, get this colored in and post it. Tag Paul, tag me, and then we'll pick a winner at the end of the month, and then you get an autographed CD, and I'll mail that out personally
That's
to
awesome.
You. So that'll be fun. So how did
I love that.
So what have you been working on lately? Because again, I see a lot of you know paintings and things like that, you know that just keep coming up. And all the only thing that I know when I see a post from Paul is it's going to have a lot of vibrant colors, which I just totally love to see. Because there's, but that's just my preference as looking at art. Because I see some you know pictures of art that people post, and I'm like, oh my God, it's a snooze fest. What you know, who would like this? Well, obviously somebody would like it. Because not all of our tastes are the same. They should be like ours, but they're not. But then we see cool stuff.
Well, exactly.
So how do you come up with, you know, all of that type of fun stuff that you're working on now?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one of the things that, you know, makes this career so fun for me. There are a lot of artists who do very much the same thing all the time and become known for that and are very successful for that. And I think that's awesome, and that's admirable, but I'm a little too ADD for that approach. I do something for a while, and then I'm ready to do something else for a while, and I may circle back to that. You know, I've always kind of just gone where the muse took me, so I constantly have a whole bunch of things going on at once, and then I work on whatever, you know, I feel most inspired to do. So I just finished a double portrait commission. That was one of the most recent things that I did. It was two sisters, and when I do portraits and things like that, I like to try and tell a little bit more about the person. So it's their portrait, but it also has a bunch of kind of hidden symbols and images and things all around them that speak to their interests and that type of thing. So that was one project. And also at the same time, I'm finishing up right now a big painting. It is actually a collaboration with photographer Mike Ruiz, who is an awesome. He's a you know well-known photographer who's done a lot of work with celebrities. He's been on a variety of TV shows and things. And so he contacted me and asked if I would want to do a little project with him. And the idea was that he would take a photograph and then I would reinterpret it as a painting, but really put my own mark on it, and then we would swap. So he'd print out the photo really big and give it to me, and I'd give him the painting. And we'd also kind of, you know, display them together too and tell the story of it. So I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. I've done collaborations like that before with other photographers, and I always think that's really fun to take somebody else's, you know, image and then twist it around and turn it into something else on my canvas. So he sent me this awesome photo that he took, and it was a self-portrait. He's laying on this big pink flamingo inner tube in a pool, wearing a little, you know, a Speedo or underwear or something, And he's just kind of like laying there. It's almost like an anatomy lesson because you can just see every muscle on his body delineated perfectly. So I have this huge print of him. And I thought, okay, now what am I going to do with this? And it was a strange combination of things that kind of led me to this decision. But one of them was moving, you know, out here and feeling a little disconnected for a while from, you know, all my friends and family and stuff. I kind of felt like I was, you know, off on this new adventure. And then the first movie that we watched when we came out here was The Little Prince that weekend. We watched The Little Prince on Netflix, which was my favorite book as a kid. And so the combination of those things led me to paint Mike Ruiz instead of floating in the water on his flamingo, he is actually blasting off into outer space.
Oh,
and
my
God. Put him in a, like an astronaut helmet. He's still just in his underwear, but he's got this like astronaut helmet and a very kind of futuristic, crazy outer spacey background. So that's what actually is on my easel right now that I need to finish up. But if anybody wants to see a little teaser of that, you can go to Mike's Facebook, or actually I think it's his Instagram, where he posted a video. It's kind of a little time lapse of me working on the painting. So that's really fun. I'm working on that, like I said, at the moment. So that's the current painting project. And I always have a bunch of book covers that I'm working on, like I said, for Dream Spinner. And Dream Spinner is an awesome company, like I said, because we publish adult gay fiction novels, a ton of them, you know, really great books, all kinds of different storylines. There's, you know, contemporary fiction, but they also do science fiction, fantasy, mystery, pretty much anything that you could want. And it was started by this group of friends who realized that there were really not any gay kind of romance-oriented stories out there at the time. This was almost 10 years ago. You know, if you think back to all the gay movies and books and stories at that point, they pretty much all ended with us being murdered or, you know, dying or some horrible tragedy. And so they thought maybe we should do some books for this audience that gives them happy endings. And the company really took off and did amazing things. I've done over 400 book covers for them.
Wow.
At this point. And in addition to doing the adult books, we also have an imprint now called Harmony Inc., which is really cool. I love working with them. We publish books for LGBTQ teens. So those are not so much necessarily romance-oriented, although some are, but they're just more about giving visibility to all of these different, you know, groups within the queer community so that kids can see themselves, you know, in the stories that they're reading, because school libraries don't usually have those kinds of things. So that's a real, you know, that's really important to the owner, to Elizabeth, who owns Dream Spinner. She does a lot of, you know, charitable work, giving these books to, donating them to libraries and youth organizations and various groups around the country so that they can get these stories into the hands of kids who really need to see themselves, not just, you know, on TV or whatever, but in the books that they're reading. So it's just an awesome company to work with. And so that's where I also channel, you know, a lot of my creative energy into doing work for them too. So that's why I was real happy to get to do this coloring book with them. But I just feel so lucky that, you know, I get to spend all day, every day doing creative stuff, whatever it is, whether it's sitting at my computer designing something or editing a video for YouTube or working on a painting. It's pretty much like the life that I always dreamed of, and I can't believe that it's actually happening. But I always tell kids who want to go into art, you're going to have a lot of people that tell you, you can't do that, you're never going to make any money, you know, all of those things that parents try to say to discourage you from going that direction. And mine said those same things too, even though I think they knew that there was really no getting out of it at this point. I mean, they'd been taking me to art lessons my whole life, but, you know, they were concerned because in their world view, you know, artists were starving people mm-hmm. who didn't have a real avenue for making it. And I've just always been very driven to prove the opposite of that and find creative ways to do what I love and make a living at the same time. And so far I've been really lucky at being able to do both of those things. So.
Well, I think that this is, you know, you have such a world that you've already, you know, pardon the pun, painted. But, you know, you're always creating, you're always doing something fun. I'm so happy to know you and call you a friend, because you really do, excellent work, but you really do, you know, open up a voice for a lot of people who might not already think that, you know, gee, there's a world out there that I can be part of as well. And you do that every day.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And there is one project I'll throw in a quick plug for that speaks to that same idea, which is an anti-bullying project I started actually with Linda, the woman who was my art teacher when I was a kid. We, you know, I was bullied, like a lot of gay kids were growing up, and a lot of, you know, straight kids too. And I realized that going to her class was such a great outlet for me, and it really helped me to deal with that, where a lot of kids don't, you know, they internalize it and they don't have a way to get those feelings out. So we started this project called You Will Rise, and people can check it out online, youwillriseproject.com. But it's basically a forum for kids to create art about their experiences with bullying. And then, you know, we post their work and they get a lot of positive feedback on social media and stuff. And it helps them to build a community and realize that they're not alone. And we've had some great success stories with that. Kids who, you know, really said that it helped them, you know, get over or at least get through some difficult times. We do a lot of workshops and things. We're getting ready to do one out here in Monterey now for the first time. So it's the West Coast branch of You Will Rise. So that's always, and that's just a total volunteer thing that me and Linda and a small group of our friends work on. So I think it's real important when you're as lucky as I've been to, you know, try and pay it forward and help other people. And, you know, that's what we always tell the kids in the workshops too. They say how much they appreciate what the experience that they've had and everything. And we say, so now it's your job to take what you've learned here and pay it forward and help other kids who maybe, you know, haven't had this experience yet, you know, let them know that what they have to say matters. And I think that I had such great influences and support, but it's the least I can do to try and, you know, create some of that positive energy in the world for other people too.
So can you take me through what a workshop, I mean, if I'm just like walking in blind and had no idea what I'm going to be in for, what happens in a workshop and what would the guests expect?
Sure. So the workshops are always free. We have kids, it's usually, we've done high school and we've also done middle school workshops at this point. And we actually just recently too did one for a group of autistic kids, which was a totally different dynamic and really great to work with. They had bullying issues, you know, that were very specific to their group. But we have the kids apply online and tell us, they don't have to, you know, necessarily be artists, but they have to talk about why they want to participate, a little bit about their experiences with bullying and stuff. And then we choose as many as we can, and we get sponsors in the area to pay for all the art supplies and everything that we need. And we bring the kids in usually for about 3 or 4 sessions spread out over, you know, a month. And they come in for maybe like 3 or 4 hours each time. And it's always interesting because, you know, a lot of these kids have been conditioned to be afraid of social situations. So they come into the room and they go to the furthest corners and they don't make eye contact with each other. You know, they have like long bangs or hats or whatever so that they can just kind of keep to themselves. And, you know, we're not therapists. We're not trying to say that, you know, we're going to solve this problem for them in any way, but we're really just there to give them a creative outlet for it. So we generally start by putting out a big piece of canvas or board or something, like a huge surface on the floor, and having everybody grab some paint, tempera paint, or whatever, styrofoam plates, paper plates, put their hands in it and just start smearing paint around on the surface and make a big kind of collaborative abstract piece. And we ask them to sort of think about as they're doing it, you know, some of their experiences that they've had, why they wanted to come to this workshop and stuff. And it's amazing how, you know, I think if we set them all down and we said, now let's talk about bullying, nobody would want to do that because that sounds boring to me. I mean, that's, you know, and also scary. But if you just kind of get everybody working together, doing something messy that, you know, maybe they've never done before, it opens up everyone. And pretty soon they all kind of start interacting and sharing some of their stories with each other. And then we just, throughout the course of the workshop, have a variety of different art materials all around. We have some various collaborative, you know, art pieces that they can work on together. But we also have spaces where if they want to go and make something on their own, they can. And it doesn't just have to be visual art. They could, you know, if they want to write, they want to do performance, they want to create something, you know, fashion oriented, whatever. And then at the end of the workshop, we always have a big public exhibition. We've done this in museums. We've done it at an art college, just libraries, wherever. But we always, that's an important part of it because, you know, they're not just making this work for themselves. I mean, that's a big part of it. But part of what empowers them is to say, you are sharing your story so that it can help others. So we invite the community to come and see what they have made. And that's always just incredible to witness. You know, some of these kids do a full 180 from the first day that they come in. We had one girl who was just so shy. I mean, it was so painful for her to even say anything to us at first. And then by the time that we got around to that exhibition, she gave a monologue to the whole group, the whole audience, about her experience with bullying, how she got through it. And then we've stayed in touch with her, actually. That was one of our earliest workshops. And she actually gave that same monologue as a TED Talk the year that she graduated from high school. So to see how far – she had had to drop out of her school because the bullying was so severe.
Oh,
so to know how, you know, how far she came. And we're not taking full credit for that, but we were a piece of it. And, you know, she's the one who did it and had the support of her mom and you know, friends and community and stuff. But she was in a real dark place and she got through it. And I think if more kids can see stories like that, it can really help, because one of the things when you're being bullied, you feel so alone, you know,
yeah.
And social media can be a big contributor to the bullying epidemic. You know, cyberbullying is something I never had to deal with because there was no internet when I was a kid. But now, you know, bullying continues when kids go home from school too. So we're just trying to take that forum and turn it into something that can be positive too. And that's, you know, what it's really all about with You Will Rise Project.
Well, you know, and you've probably given that girl, I mean, you've turned her life. I mean, again, you're part of it. I get that. You're not trying to say, okay, we're solely responsible for, you know, that's
right.
Not what you're doing at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, you sometimes never really know the impact of a kind word or a smile or a, you know, just a nice post-it note, hey, you know, great job or whatever, what that actually means to that person in their grand scheme of things. And I think that's really important, especially, you know, we see all of the negative stuff on social media, and we can talk about that would be, you know, an entire 8-hour episode for a different day. So we don't have to do that. But, you know, I think putting out that positive message, the affirmed message that, hey, you know, you're okay, I'm okay, you know, we're in this together type of a thing. You never know who you're going to touch, you know, because I will get notes from people all the time. Hey, I needed to hear that post today, or I'm really glad you said this. And I think, you know, you really do a lot of that in all of your work. So I really need to applaud you for being available, because you really, I mean, you're the face of this. You're out there. You're living it. I do this on a radio or I post something I thought was really cute on Facebook. But honestly, that's about where, you know, the rubber meets the road for me.
But
you're, you know, live and in technical or doing this all the time.
Well, I was real lucky that I had people who did it for me, and it was, you know, they weren't doing it online necessarily, but I had a lot of great supporters. And so I always try to, when I get a lot of messages from young people, especially like young gay people who maybe find me on YouTube or whatever, who just have different questions about, you know, how they can go about getting into the arts, or maybe they, you know, they're kind of in a similar place to where I was at their age. They weren't sure how they could, you know, maybe make a career out of it. I've even had messages from young people in other countries, places where maybe being gay, you know, is illegal, or, mm-hmm. you know, very, very frowned upon in a very, totally different climate than where we live. Of course, we might be heading that direction. I'm not sure at this point, but, you know, kids who are really struggling with things that I never had to deal with. And, you know, I feel really lucky that, you know, I think social media is amazing for giving, you know, people the opportunity to connect. And I always say what I can and try to connect people with resources that will help them and, you know, inspire them or at least be encouraging. Because I do think that art is such a powerful way to express yourself, and it always has been for me. And in everything that I do, you know, it's continued to prove itself to be very much, you know, the most effective way that I can, you know, speak out and make a difference. Whether it's something, you know, I do a lot of kind of political paintings and things that are commentaries about what's happening in the world, but then I do, you know, more fun, silly things like the Cheesecake Boys too, but they kind of make their a statement of their own as well. Mm-hmm. They're saying, you know, if this was okay for women, why isn't it okay for men? And that's an important statement to make too. So it's, I'm not the kind of person who is going to be leading a march necessarily. I'll participate in the march, but you probably won't see me with a bullhorn in front. But I do feel like when I'm at a canvas, you know, I can, that's the way for me to really maybe contribute to the conversation.
I think that's a huge commitment right there, because, you know, a lot of people will say, you need to do it this way. You need to do it this way. And
yeah.
like, well, that's your way, you know, because I had somebody ping me the other day and say, well, you know, I this and that and the other thing. And it was a very nice comment. So I'll just leave it at that. But it was from my high school teacher from, you know, like a trillion years ago. About some, you know, the state of the world and things like that. And he left me a very nice note. And I said, thank you so much. But I said, you know, I just, you know, I said, I can't influence people in that particular arena in that direction. I said, if I could, I'd totally be using my voice for that. But just making derogatory comments or saying things that don't help elevate and raise, that's just, you know, I can only, you know, that's not my path. And so when people come to you and say, Paul, you need to do it this way. Well, no, that's, that's their thing. That's okay. You go do it your way. That's fine. I'm going to contribute my own way. And so I appreciate the fact that, you know, subtly or maybe not so subtly, you do bring a lot of issues to life, you know, like, you know, hey, you know, we had pinup girls. Why can't we have pinup boys or cheesecake boys, you know? And so, you know, your method of broadening our horizons and also being a voice for the LGBT community, I think is really quite impressive. And I just owe you a great deal of gratitude for the amount of talent that you share with the world every day. We've got about 2 minutes left. I know we've talked a lot about, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, but is there anything that you really want to make sure the listeners and fans get a chance to know about you or hear from you before we're off the air?
Let's see. Well, boy, that time went by real fast, didn't it?
I know. It always flies. It flies by. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that was done.
That was fun. No, I guess I would just tell people that if they want to kind of keep up with what I am doing, which, you know, as we've discussed, is a wide variety of things, you can check out my website, paulrichmondstudio.com, and also, you know, social media. As you said, Facebook is Paul Richmond Studio, Twitter, Paul Richmond Art. Instagram, Polly World. I don't know why I didn't use the same name for everything. I didn't really know what I was doing yet, I guess, at that point. And then I was in 2D. And then YouTube, which is my new favorite fun thing, is Paul Richmond Studio also. So I would just ask, you know, everybody who's interested in seeing what all I'm up to come check it out and hang out with me. I do post new videos every Wednesday on YouTube. I have a lot of fun with that and interact with people. Everybody who leaves comments or sends me messages, I always respond to, because I really like getting to, you know, hear from people who are interested in what I'm up to. I guess that's it. I don't know.
Cool.
Anything else you think we need to tell people?
No, just go buy. Here's the deal. Go. You need, everybody needs to go buy 10 copies, buy one for you, buy nine for your friends, and make sure to get the autograph copy, because, you know, everybody needs the autograph on there, because then it's authentic. And go have a great time coloring all of these great cheesecake boys. And please go download mine. And remember, the winner at the end of the month will get an autographed CD by yours truly, and I'll mail it out with a nice little note to you. And with that, Polly, we've had rain down here in Southern California. I've got sandbags and everything. I'm just looking over at my door. My place is flooding. And so with 30 seconds left, I'm going to say, Go out, stay dry, buy Paul's book of The Cheesecake Boys. Please support independent artists wherever you can. And we will see you tomorrow live with Zoe Niklaus. That's the psychic show, everybody. So if you want to call in and ask a question of Zoe, tomorrow's the day, not today. Thanks, Paul, and I will see you soon. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.